As I said, we're starting a new theme in March. The other thing, it wasn't in the bulletin and I forgot to announce, is next week the time changes. So don't forget next weekend to change the time. Otherwise, you'll come in just in time for soup with your visitors. We're talking this month about the kingdom of God and what that might look like, and you might think I'd have chosen a parable that says the kingdom of God is like, but I've chosen another scripture this morning to start off our theme of the kingdom of God is like, taken from 2 Timothy 1:2, and it is a scripture, actually a letter that was written to young Timothy, Paul's protege, and Paul was prone to wanting to encourage people, so he writes this to Timothy. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. When I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. A word from our Holy Scripture. There is a new God in the myriad of gods we human beings have worshipped in the last 5 millennia or so. And unfortunately, I'm very serious. There is a new God. The word God itself can be defined, as I was looking it up this week, as the supreme or ultimate reality. It can be defined as infinite mind, or a being or object that is worshipped as having more than natural attributes and powers, or a person or thing of supreme value. What do you think we call our new God? The internet. What is the internet? Let's ask. Alexa, what is the new internet?
Did that answer your question?
Not quite. I asked the wrong question. That's why. There you go. The internet itself is a worldwide network that connects pretty much all people to a super network that allows us access to information 24/7 from anywhere in the world, or actually in space, even. It's there. It is ubiquitous. That is, omnipresent, a word we use for God. All-knowing, seemingly infinite, and always accessible. You can ask it questions and receive immediate answers. And you can order almost anything over the internet that will meet your every need and want. It can monitor your heartbeat and blood sugar and send the information to medical professionals. We can listen to unlimited music or take classes. It can not only remind us of what our next appointment is, it can tell us where it is, and it can tell us how we get to the place we need to go. It can monitor our sleep patterns, and it can wake us up in the morning. It reminds us to drink water, take a break, and not forget somebody's birthday. And we cannot seemingly live without it. We do our banking, shopping, business, communicating, and research all on the internet via a gadget as small as a watch. Do you have yours on, Beth? Yep. Can we see how the internet then has become a god to the world? Let's do a little survey. How many people have written a letter to someone, not a note, written a full letter to someone in the last week? A couple of people. How many have communicated with at least one person via the internet this week? How many of you have accessed information from the Bible this last week? How many of you have accessed, have prayed more than you have used the internet for simply entertainment this week? Like surfed the net, streamed YouTube or Netflix, watched cute cat videos, checked social media sites or other kinds of activities. How many of you have prayed more than you've used the internet for that this week? How many of you carry your phone with you? How many of you carry your Bible with you? It's on your phone, yes. No wonder the internet has become our God. It has many of the attributes we have traditionally associated with God. It meets needs, it's always present, and it's always present, and it's indispensable to our lives. We cannot survive without it, literally, because it runs the world these days. If the internet crashed, we might not be able to order groceries, run our businesses, pay for anything, access money, so on. And here's another thing. Worshipping the internet is a far more unifying religion than any other religion in the world to date. As of January 2020, 4.54 billion people, encompassing 59% of the global population, were active users of internet. And that number is growing. Year over year, from the fall of 2018 to the fall of 2019, the use of the internet had grown by 327 million people. Religions can only dream of that. If any world religion boasted these numbers and was as zealously and passionately engaged in as the internet, it would eventually unify all people on earth. Karl Marx once said that religion is the opiate of the masses. I now think the internet is the opiate of the masses. It numbs us from dealing with the reality of the world and what's going on in our lives. By now, a world without the internet is unimaginable. Connecting billions of people worldwide, the internet is a core pillar of the modern information society. A couple of weeks before this last Christmas, I got a package in the mail delivered to my door, of course, by Amazon. And it was what's called a Lenovo Smart Display. It has a screen on it with a speaker and a camera, and it sits on my counter. It was sent to me by my brother so we could talk versus this device. And I can video call people on it. I can ask for the news, ask for recipes, or anything really just by speaking to it. In the morning, I get up and while I'm making breakfast or doing dishes or whatever, I say, "Good morning, Google," and it says, "Good morning, Julia." It tells me what the time is and what the weather is, and then it tells me the news from several news outlets in the morning as I'm eating breakfast. I can also order things on it or put my grocery list on it, all kinds of things, and it will later read them back to me later. Given that there are so many things to do online these days, the average user of the internet spends 6 hours and 30 minutes on the internet. Now, you may think that's extreme and you don't use it that much, but in general, when you average it out, 6 hours and 30 minutes. It seems that the internet is all-powerful, or to use a fancy word we use in religion, it is omnipotent. And it has us firmly in its grasp. If we were to understand the kingdom of God to be a place where God is accessible at all times, waiting to listen to all of our needs and wants, and will fulfill them, then the internet will work for us as a God. If the kingdom of God is a place where we can seek knowledge and connect with a higher power, then the internet will offer this to us. And if that's what all you need from God, then this will suffice. But this is where the metaphor breaks down. Because the internet is cold, dispassionate, and uncaring. It does not care about us or what happens to us, even while it encourages our self-centered, narcissistic desire to feed our own egos and pleasures, which makes it such a dangerous substitute for God and the kingdom of God. It promises us so much, but ultimately will not deliver what we need, even as we have been led to think that it will. It is numbing our minds and shutting down our hearts and making us the center of the world. It cannot give us what God can, which is life. I think we're all looking to live real, authentic, abundant lives. Real life. Life that is complicated and messy, but also immersed in love and forgiveness and grace. Paul, the writer of this letter to Timothy, says that this grace has always been here for us to access. It was given to us in Christ Jesus even before the ages began. The grace of God has always permeated reality and life. And it is the only thing that is truly free and eternal. A grace that knows us as we are and accepts us just the way we are in all of our messy humanity. Yet it calls us to be the more that we can be. The internet will never ask anything of us, but it will also never give us what we ultimately need. Paul goes on to say that this grace has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel message, the good news message, is about life. Friends, we will never find life in something that cannot possibly care for us. People are looking for life and finding very poor substitutes for it. In Jesus, we see and find life if we're willing to follow him. But it calls on us to sacrifice for the sake of others. It invites us into relationship and love. It reminds us that we have a source greater than ourselves to turn to, that deeply cares for us and our best interests. The writer says this, "For I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him." Can we entrust our lives to something that does not care for us? The kingdom of God is here, right now. And we are missing out because we are looking in places that will never satisfy us. You know, we all say we're busy, and we are. But we do find time to fill our lives with things that often don't matter. We are substituting false gods for real God. We say, as Richard said earlier, we want our churches to grow. We want our faith to grow. Yet, like accessing the internet, we're expecting the work to be done for us. We look outside of ourselves, hoping that the kingdom of God will arrive with little effort, simply by pushing some buttons. The kingdom of God cannot come about this way. It comes through each of us immersing ourselves in the life of Jesus, seeking first the kingdom of God through prayer and study and meeting together, through service and invitation and reaching out. Each of us determining to do our part. The internet has made it far too easy to think that we can have what we want at the stroke of a key or on the tap of a screen. This way of living and thinking is sapping the life out of us, and it is sapping the life out of the world. I'm the first one to admit that I spend way more time online than I do in prayer, than I do in reading or in study. Yet always, when I determine to spend more time with God, I experience so much more peace, and yes, I feel more alive. Today, do we want life, real life? If we do, I suggest maybe we can turn off our screens just a little bit and turn to God. To open up your heart and your life to God. Seek out the teaching of Scripture and wise elders. And open your heart to God and to others. Listen for the Spirit to speak into your life. As Paul says, hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, and guard the good treasure that God has given to you with the help of the Holy Spirit that is living within us. The Holy Spirit lives in each of us, but we're losing the ability to hear it as we substitute false gods for the living God. Our lives are being destroyed by not turning to God. This is the season of Lent, a time when we may choose to make a change in our lives until Easter that somehow offers us more life. Consider powering down your devices to spend more time with God. That's what I will be doing for Lent. Seek God and you'll find life. Anything else is a poor substitute. Will we forego what will not in the end give us life, or are we too far down the path of convenience and self-gratification to turn back? That is our question today. Do we want life for ourselves, and do we want to see the kingdom of God a reality? It will require change and work and sacrifice. But is it worth it? I think so. And I hope you do too. Let's take a few moments now for a time of reflection.